And open with me to Luke chapter 2. And again, it's awesome to have you folks here today. I want to begin by sharing something that I read this week. I thought it was interesting. Kids have a hard time waiting for Christmas, don't they? There's some actual letters that were written to Santa. So I want to read these. It's pretty interesting. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you're real hungry, you can use our phone and order a pizza to go. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. Dear Santa, from a four-year-old, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-A-Sketch Animator, two packs of number two pencils, a Crayola fat markers, and a big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish. What do you want for Christmas? What do we deserve for Christmas might be a better question to ask ourselves. Isn't it interesting that most people are making wish lists at Christmas? It's a time of year most people desire to give gifts, hopefully in recognition of what they've been given, the greatest gift of all, salvation through Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at two individuals not spoken of much during Christmas who only wanted the promise of Christmas, the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, and salvation for all people. In the Gospel of Luke, we come across two characters who make their appearance in final acts of Christmas drama. One is a man named Simeon. The other is a woman named Anna. They don't appear in any nativity scenes or in many Christmas cards, but they're significant players in the first Christmas pageant. Both of these individuals were waiting for something. Actually, they were waiting for someone. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I ask that you will speak to our hearts today as we look at your word. I pray, Father God, that you will share with us the real truth of Christmas so that, Lord, we can honor you the way you deserve to be honored and we can worship you. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, you probably heard the first part of Luke chapter 2 multiple times, but let's move on down to verse 22. Luke 2:22. When the time of their purification came, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ or Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. And then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul as well. There was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years and after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Dear Lord, I thank you again for your word, and I ask, Father, that you'll bring it to life today. And I thank you for these two examples of people who were looking forward to what you are going to give on that very special day we call Christmas. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outlines in front of you, I typically go through an outline. It just helps me stay on track. I can tell you that I get through a lot quicker when I stick to my outline. By the way, didn't those kids do a great job? They really did. I was watching some of them who I know their parents and their grandparents and stuff, and it's interesting. You see those people in those folks. Dixon's going to be doing what you're doing pretty soon, Tom. All right. Simeon was waiting for the comfort of Israel, the Scripture calls it. Why? Because Israel had become a wayward nation. They were people who said they believed in God. They were people who followed the rules of the law, so to speak. But as the Scripture says about us sometimes, you're doing what you're supposed to do, but your heart is far from me. How many times do we do what we think we're supposed to do, and yet we're only doing it for the reason that we think we're just going to meet the expectations, come to the guidelines, you know, make it okay with everybody else? But literally, the nation of Israel was a wayward people. They were under control by the Romans at this point. They hadn't heard from God for many years. In fact, from the point of the exile until this point, basically, there were no prophets in Israel speaking the truth about God. They were under Romans' rule. The cruel King Herod ruled with intimidation, and he was the person who had caused the eradication of multiple young boys because he was trying to get rid of Jesus. Many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. I think it's kind of like we might feel if we are looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again. You know, we seem to think that, hey, that'll come sometime, but that's got to be way off in the future. But the Scripture says He could come at any point. At just the appointed time, He will come. And so they weren't really looking for a Messiah, except Simeon was. He was a wise patron. He had been very patient. The Scripture says he'd been looking for years for the Messiah to come. And it's interesting that the Scripture says that the Lord gave him a revelation. He said, you need to go to the temple. You need to go there because you will see the Messiah. He'd been promised by the Lord he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. And so he was moved by the Spirit and he went to the temple that day on just the right day. He could have gone the day before. He could have shown up the day after. But he went when God said. I think that just reminds us that when God speaks to us, we need to move. On just the right day, Mary and Joseph brought their infant into the temple. And what a wonderful blessing. Look again in verses 28 through 32. It's interesting how it says this. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, now let me just stop you for just a second. If you had an infant in your arms and some guy walked up, an old guy, and grabbed your baby away from you, what do you think you might do? You might be a little afraid or, you know, get upset or whatever else. But he took the baby, the Scripture says in verse 28, in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. It was a wonderful blessing that Simeon spoke over Jesus that day. The Lord had kept His word, by the way, as He always does. Everything God says He will do, He will do. And just a reminder to all of us, when Jesus said, I'm coming again, guess what? He's coming again. And so we need to remember that. John chapter 1, verse 14, puts it like this. The Word became flesh, and it made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Simeon saw this little baby, and he says, Lord, you have now kept your word, and you have brought light and light into this world. Simeon had said he'd seen what he'd wanted. The thing he'd been looking for years and years and years, he knew had come to pass that day. He was blessed that the Lord had allowed him to see the Messiah. Not only see him, but to hold him. And to give a blessing to him and to his family. He blessed them with a prophetic word. And the prophetic word says this, you have prepared all, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. In other words, Simeon says, this is the one that the whole world can look to. This is the whole world, not only the Jewish people, but Gentiles can look to Jesus as your Messiah. I thought it was also interesting that there was another person listed here in verses 36 through 38. Her name's Anna. She was waiting for forgiveness. Look at what it says in verses 36 through 38. There was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption or forgiveness of Jerusalem. Anna was a prayer warrior. The scripture says she was at the temple all the time. She didn't leave. Now, of course, it meant as long as the temple was open, she was going to be there. She was that person that every time the doors were open, she was going to be there. And she was going to be there because she knew that she wanted to go to the house of the Lord and she wanted to pray and she wanted to be in His presence. The scripture said she'd been a widow for decades, never left the temple. She worshiped there, the scripture says, night and day, and she fasted regularly. Now, y'all know what fasting is, right? It's not eating as fast as you can. Fasting means not eating and looking to God's Word to fill you up. And she did that all the time, regularly. She was a prayer warrior. What we see is both Simeon and Anna had words from God for Joseph and Mary to hear. But not only for Joseph and Mary, but also for each one of us here today. What she had to say was this, my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory to your people Israel. She gave thanks to God, and she spoke about this gift of God. And then she pointed to the redemption of God, that He was going to be the Messiah to save Israel and also every Gentile who will believe on Him. The word redemption is related to the idea of captivity. In the Old Testament, the Passover was a symbol of the release of Israel from the Egyptian slavery. In Anna's day, it was the ultimate redemption and symbol of God's power to release captives. Ultimately, Passover pointed ahead to the day when God would provide deliverance from slavery of sin. When Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of Him to all who were waiting for redemption. Here at last was the one who would save His people from their sins. And when you stop and think about it, these are the two most remarkable things that were said about Jesus. Simeon saw Him and knew that He was the Messiah. Anna saw Him and knew that He was the one who would come for the forgiveness of sins. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. Anna was waiting for forgiveness. What are you waiting for? What does Christmas really mean to you? Well, I have three suggestions for every person that's here today, including myself. The first is to become a marveler. In other words, to look at what God has done for us and see the marvel in what and how He accomplished what He did. Look at verse 33. It says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Mary and Joseph, they'd both been confronted by angels. They both knew that Jesus was the gift of God. But then for people they'd never seen or heard to be able to come up to them and say, "Hey, listen, you know you got a special baby there. Your baby is the Messiah." To hear it from someone else must have truly confirmed in their hearts that they were going to do what they were supposed to do. To marvel was to see the holiness of this moment. Has Christmas kind of become blah? Has it just been one of those things that comes every year and we do the same kind of thing and we go out and buy a bunch of presents and we have our meals and we have our family get-togethers and everybody talks about everybody else and then we go on to New Year's? Or do you truly take the time to marvel at the fact that God loved you so much and loved me so much that He was willing to take on the form of a human and to go through all that He went through for us? See, God knew that by giving His life to us, He was also going to have to die for us. Have you fixed your eyes on Christmas rather than on the Messiah? I tell you, growing up, Christmas was my favorite time of year. It still is. That and Resurrection Sundays are my favorite times of the year. I love Christmas, mostly because I have the opportunity most years to get together with my family and just spend time with each other and relate to each other how much God is doing in our lives. It's just an awesome time of year. But that could be said about pretty much any time of year if that's what you wanted to do on that particular date. But I wonder, are we truly marveling about the fact that on that day, God became a man and took on the form of a man and lived His life here on this earth and ultimately gave His life for us? When we think about that, it should make a difference in the way that we celebrate Christmas. I got to admit to you, when I was a little kid, Christmas was about every present under the tree. And that's all I really cared about. I really wanted to get in there and rip them open and see what they were. And in fact, I probably have shared this a couple of times in the past, but some of you might not have heard this. I remember one particular Christmas when I was 14 years old. We had just moved from North Central Texas to West Texas. I'm actually from Colorado. I was born in Colorado Springs, but you can probably still hear the Texas voice in me. But we moved to a little place called Post, Texas. Now, you can just imagine what Post, Texas looked like in West Texas. It looked like a post. I mean, it was not much there. A lot of wind, a lot of dust. But I remember, we had just moved there. I was a freshman in high school. I was going through that whole deal of making brand new friends and getting acquainted and accustomed to a new place. And anyway, Christmas came, and we opened presents as we typically did. And my mom was the Santa Claus. She would take presents out from under the tree and give them to people. And we'd open up our presents. And at the end of doing that, you know, we all looked around and saw all the things that we'd gotten, and we were all happy for it. But I noticed there was one large present still left under the tree, but it didn't have a name on it. And my mom was really shrewd at doing that because she knew if it had a name on it, I would have been picking it up and shaking it and trying to figure out what it was. I said, "What about that last one?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about that." And so she went back and picked it up and brought it out and gave it to me. It was about this big, seriously. It was large. So I ripped that thing open. And I was thinking, you know, this is going to be something really, really awesome. It was a suitcase. I was going like, "Are you trying to tell me to move or something?" A suitcase. She said, "Well, open it up." So I opened the suitcase up, and there was like all kinds of winter wear. Sweaters and gloves and all long socks and all that kind of, and I'm thinking, I'm in West Texas. It doesn't, I mean, it gets cold, but it doesn't stay cold, and I don't think I'll ever be wearing any of this stuff to school. And I don't understand. And she said, well, there's one more part of that. She said, that youth ski trip that we couldn't afford to send you on, you're going on it. And I was going like, oh my gosh, that was the greatest gift they'd ever given me. And I was so excited. And man, I went on this ski trip and I had a blast and it was awesome. And it was there on that ski trip that I heard through lots of prayers, I'm sure, that were being lifted up for me, that God wanted me to get in to the ministry. And I kind of waited for a while before I said anything to anybody, but there was a day in church that I was sitting there and I knew I needed to speak up, and I shared with the church that God had called me into the ministry. It was a great, wonderful, awesome time for me. But the fact is that there's many times we open up all the gifts and then we clean up the mess and everybody goes their own way and it seems like we're right back in the same place that we were. But as a marveler, what you can do is remember that we're not fixing our eyes just on the Christmas. We're fixing our eyes on the Messiah of the Christmas. Secondly, we can become a mover. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, both in verse 27 and in verse 38, they were moved by the Spirit. Look at verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, talking about Simeon. And then in verse 38, it says, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be... 38. Let me get down to that. Sorry, I went to the wrong one. Coming up to them at that very moment, she moved. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to who all were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. When the Spirit said go, they went. In the same way, Mary and Joseph and the shepherd were movers. Look at what happened to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. In other words, Mary said, if this is what God wants to do in me, let him do it to me. Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, after he'd heard from the angel who was speaking to him, he woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He got up and he moved. He did what he was supposed to do. And then in the same chapter of Luke, verse 15, the shepherds were talked to by the angels. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They didn't just sit there. They didn't just say, okay, I heard from an angel or I heard from God. We'll see if anything happens. They got up and went. I think for us that know Jesus as our personal Lord and Saviors, we also must become messengers. We must take the Word of God out. There's no better time than now. Listen, folks, there's people all over this world wondering what's going to come of this world. It's crazy times we're living in. You know, we went through 2020 and everybody thought, could it get any crazier? And then here we're in 2021. But I can tell you, folks, that this world is looking for the answer. And the answer is not a vaccine. And the answer is not a big government. The answer is not any of that. The answer is Jesus. There's no better time than now for us to be messengers. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Simeon and Anna, they got it. People are looking for hope right now. And there is no greater hope found than in Jesus. So as we, as believers, become marvelers, the wonder of Christmas will astonish us. As we become movers, our needs for comfort and forgiveness will be met. And as we take our role as messengers seriously, we'll be in position to introduce others to the Christ of Christmas. They then, in turn, can find what they've been waiting for. I want to close today with an illustration that when I very first heard it, brought me to tears, and it almost does every time I read it. But the reason I want to share it with you is I want you to see what it means for the Father to give His Son. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. As winter approached, the war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, the father received a telegram. His son had been killed in action. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. He walked to the door, and opened the door and was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who said, "I was the friend of your son. I was the one he was trying to rescue when he died. May I come in for just a few moments? I have something to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist, and then he gave the old man the package. The paper was torn away to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider this a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over his fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task completed, the old man sat down in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift that he'd been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possessions, far eclipsing any interest he had in the pieces of art for which the museums around the world clamored. The following spring, the old man died. The artwork world waited in anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was a painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." The auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, the neighbor of the old man offered $10. "That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, twice, gone," and the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." And the auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on?" And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all. Whoever takes the son gets it all." Just remember this year, if you know Jesus, you know all that you need. But if you've not yet trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, why not make this the best Christmas you've ever had? And here's the reason why. If you'll accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, His promise to you is that you will have life with Him forever, in a place that He's preparing for you right now. In fact, in John chapter 14, He told His disciples, "I'm going to prepare that place for you. And if I go and prepare it for you, I will come again, so that where I am, there you will be also." And one of the disciples, Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, spoke up and said, "Lord, where are you going? How we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through me." Anyone who has the Son has it all. Let's pray. Father, I know that Your Word is true. And I know that many people have a thought in their mind that if they'll just do the very best that they can, then somehow, when they stand before God, He's going to say, hey, you did your best. But that's not what the Scripture says. We are not judged by our own merits. We are judged by the merit of Christ Himself, who became all sin for us on the cross so that we could be made right with the Lord. So what keeps people from coming to the Lord? Their own pride, their own misunderstandings, their own desire to do their own thing. But Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone who has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the day. There'll never be a better Christmas. There'll never be a better time than right now. And so, Lord, I just pray, if there's anyone here today who's not yet trusted You, they would do it right now. You could do it by simply praying with your heart this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize today that when Jesus came to this earth and lived and ultimately died, He didn't do that as just an example of what a good person ought to be. He came to become the sacrifice for my sins. And so, Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me and make me a new person. Lord, today I give You my life. I turn away from my old self and I ask You to make me a new person, a new creation. I give You my heart. If you pray a prayer something like that and truly mean it, according to God's Word, you will be saved. My prayer for each person in this room today is to know when you leave this place that you're God's child and that He loves you. And that He sent Jesus for this very reason. Lord, I thank You for this day. We're going to stand in just a moment.